when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening for all of you precious Blood River Radio listeners out there, you precious Blood River Radio supporters, the supporters that keep us on the air. We couldn't be on the air without the group of people that support us. So I would like to thank you very much, and I'd like to thank all you new people just tuning in. Excuse this hoarseness, folks. I just did a little run today, a little bit more than I usually do. I'm still recovering from it just a little bit. Anyway, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We were syndicated proudly by Liberty News Radio, Oliver Creation, and New Cloud Media. Liberty News Radio with Sam Bushman, New Cloud with Jay and Lizzie and all the Harrison family. And we'd like to thank them so much because they do such a wonderful job. We have our ace in today, Miss Lizzie. She keeps old Papa all straight, reminds me of all kind of stuff. And we couldn't do it without her. We surely couldn't. Anyway, just in case you wonder what the date is, it is D-Day, June the 6th, 2026. Some years ago, June the 6th, 1944, when we had white brothers killing white brothers, you know, and that everybody knows how that turned out. The world is such a more crappy place now than it ever was. You know, white brothers killing white brothers. What a tragedy that was. Anyway, people, as you know, this here is a Christian radio program. So I'm going to say a quick prayer. Oh, by the way, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. I forgot to say that. I'm kind of wound up today. Really, I'm really, 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 really excited about this show today. We have some super people on. And every time I have a really great show, I get all wound up and nervous. I'm just a type A person anyway, even as old as I am. But like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And just in case you're wondering, I just gave you the date. And it's June the 6th, and you're ever Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's it. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. There's no pope, no preacher, no, not even the Bible. Nothing can save you, people, but other than Jesus Christ. You're saved by faith and faith alone. That's it, and that's scriptural. That's good. If you don't believe it, just pick up the Bible and read it. You can find it for yourself. Anyway, people, if you will, bow your head. We're going to say a quick prayer, and then we'll go right to the rest of the program. Almighty Father, I'd like to thank you for bringing me in here to this podium today to do battle again with your enemy, with the devil. I'd like to thank you so much for guiding me through some horrible health issues and bringing me back, getting really good, getting a lot healthier, a lot stronger. And, Lord, I hope it's not too selfish, but I would love to do that New York Marathon one more time before I die. And I've been told, Lord, thanks to you guiding me through these hard waters that they say is totally doable. Anyway, also, Lord, I would like to thank you for protecting Blood River Radio, for protecting Liberty News Radio, New Cloud Media, all the people we just mentioned, all of our guests, all of our friends, all the people we have, special guests we have on today. And Lord, I'd also like to say a special prayer, another special prayer for all the United States Ship Liberty sailors and Marines. This coming Monday, Lord, will be the anniversary of, June the 8th of 1967, when Israel, and along with LBJ, and Robert McNamara tried everything they knew to sink that ship. We had two of the wonderful sailors on last week, and they'll be coming on again before this month is over. But I'd like to say a special prayer for them. And Lord, if you will, please never, ever let us lose our courage. Let us always ride to the sound of the gunfire. I ask all this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Ah!
Dear Blood River Radio family. We play that. We're going to try to play that every show throughout the month of June in honor of the U.S. Liberty sailors and Marines that gave the ultimate price. And some of them carry the scars to this day. So that's what we'll do. We'll try to do that every show, every broadcast. That's what we're going to try to do. Well, people, just a quick outline, which I didn't do. I'm really wound up today. I know I've said that already. But we have a fellow, one of the few people on Earth left that I really respect and admire. Don Black is going to be on here. Man, we're so fortunate to have him. I couldn't say enough about him. I mean, he's a giant. He's one of the – in fact, we're going to get him to talk about some of the things he did one more time because we have new people tuning in all the time. But anyway, we'll have him, and we're supposed to have a fellow named Peter. I didn't get his last name. He's going to be coming on for a segment or so. We fly by the seat of our pants. He's going to be talking about the return to the land movement in Arkansas. Peter and some of his fellow white people have purchased land and been building houses. We've had him on once before, and rumor has it that the federal government has stepped in, is getting ready to make war on them because of, God forbid, they dared to try to have an all-white community. Okay, second hour, we're going to have Will Franklin coming on doing a special report on some of the research he has done with the United States military merging, so to speak, with the Israeli military. In my opinion, it'll be it's just further that they're taking all the window shade off, and you can see what's really happening. In my opinion, we'll get to Don's opinion about that in just a second. The United States, it's in the open now. I've thought it for a long time that Israel really controls the United States and controls the United States military. That's why I've always thought that they've never been afraid of Red China or anybody else because they have total control of the United States missiles. Anyway, second hour, also Paul Fromm will be coming on to talk about some of the new hate stuff that's going on, hate legislation in Canada. He always does a great job. A third hour, Gene Andrews will be coming on and doing his thing with the Confederate History Week. And so that's pretty much for the outline right now. Oh, almost forgot the donors. Almost forgot. We had two great donors this week. We have Pam and Dennis Adams from Virginia. Not only did they send a nice little check, they sent me a box of taffy, handmade taffy from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And they know I like molasses. Matter of fact, they give me and Gene Andrews molasses every time we see them. He said, here, some of it's molasses, others various flavors. Hope you enjoy it. Dennis and Pam, encloses a quarterly support. They all, without Dennis and Pam, be no Blood River Radio. And also Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone AZ, another old Vietnam vet, and he has the purple. He has a limp left over from being up close and personal with the BC. He has that to prove it. He has the purple heart. He's just a hell of a nice guy. I love him to death. I consider him a brother. I really do. And without people like Jay-Z and the Adams family, there'd be no Blood River Radio. And folks, I'm going to shut up now, and we got two guys. We're coming on. We got Don Black, and we also have Peter lined up right now. So we'll introduce Don Black. He's the senior fellow, and we'll go to Peter. Peter's going to tell us about what's going on up there in Imboden, Arkansas. So, Don, how are you doing today, brother?
Well, I'm doing good, Eddie. It's always good to talk to you again. Good to be back on your show. And I know you're always singing my praises, but you don't know how much I admire you because you are one of the few people, I guess, with an increasing number. The numbers are growing of people who are carrying the torch, manning the ramparts. And so I certainly appreciate your reaching all of your many audience people out there who are beginning to wake up even more than they have in the past. And I think, as you alluded to, the events that are overtaking not only this nation but the entire world are causing that. And we certainly should take advantage of that in every opportunity. And this radio show is certainly an example of that, in which you are reaching a lot of people who are concerned about what's going on and who are looking for the whole truth.
Thank you so much.
See just what's behind all this.
Thank you so much, Don, with that. Believe it or not, we've run out of the first segment. We've got to go to our first break, and we'll introduce Peter. So be right back. Thank you so much, Don. We'll get to you, Peter, just right after this quick commercial place. A break. Folks, you got about 90 seconds to get you some coffee, but you got to be back in about 90 seconds. Be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Are you watching what's happening in our country and asking, what can I do? Join the John Birch Society in Salt Lake City, June 6th, for a powerful one-day conference. The day includes a host of respected speakers, two meals, and meaningful connections. You'll gain clarity on the issues and walk away with practical steps you can take to your community. Reserve your seat today at jbs.org/SLC26. That's jbs.org/SLC26.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. That adrenaline is really rocking and rolling today, buddy. I guess I'm just feeling a lot better physically. Everybody and his mama who listens to Blood River Radio, you know that my well-being is directly tied to my ability to move, to get out and be mobile and run. It's what everybody knows me knows that's what got me out of a really bad medical situation. But anyway, like we told and like we promised, we have Peter Seary, I think he said his name was. I hope I'm not butchering that. He's owned from Return to the Land Project up there in Arkansas. And I know exactly where Imboden is. My grandparents were buried not Imboden, they're buried in the Delta and Mark Tree. All my people, my mother's side, came in. They were coming from the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. They moved down to the Delta in 1929. Guess what happened that year, folks? Nice. A big, bad depression. But anyway, Peter, tell us a little bit about why you went to the Return of the Land movement. And listen, and when you get through, tell us how it's working, all the nuts and bolts, the hoops you had to jump through, the legalities, anything you can think of. And I'm really interested in, I know Don is too, about the Fed. I've heard that the Fed, the federal government, they always do it. They're coming, I think, trying to sue you. When you get through, tell us about that. Include that and let us know if that's true. But go ahead. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Peter.
Well, a few years ago, a group of us started an organization called Return to the Land. It's a membership association, and its main goal is to preserve the culture and the heritage of our people, and traditional way of living and traditional moral values, all the things that the conservatives failed to conserve. And so we also, a group of us in the organization, decided that we were going to pool up some money and buy a piece of land together and live on it with our families, which is a pretty normal thing to do. And so we did that back in October 2023. We did that. We got this piece of land in Arkansas, northeast Arkansas, near a little town called Raisin Den. And, started building our cabins, and it was great. Now, a little while after that, maybe actually not too long after that, like 8 months after that, you know, a lot of people were really excited about the project because of its, you know, implications and a whole lot. And a lot of people really want to live in an intentional community because they want to raise their kids around other families that are homeschooling and other families that are teaching traditional values and not teaching kids about the Holocaust every single year over and over again in school. So anyways, as we start to become a little bit popular, this mysterious guy on Reddit, on the Reddit sub forum r/Jewish, began to make a lot of posts about us, really angry posts, and people in his comment section started to make threats against us, like they were going to burn down our houses and with our children inside and that kind of thing. Of course, nothing came of that except media attention. And sure enough, a bunch of journalists began to cover it. And sure enough, you know, after that, fast forward to sometime last year, the lawfare begins, because people would start to, you know, a bunch of families living together on a piece of land they bought together. That's 100% legal. There's nothing wrong with that. We aren't a public-facing organization. We're not selling land. People can't, like, contact us and ask to buy land. It doesn't work like that at all. And so, anyhow, we have one state investigation, two federal investigations, and two lawsuits against us. Damn. And we're a group of families. We're not rich. We're mostly low middle income. We don't have a whole lot of means to defend ourselves against this incredible kind of lawfare. What happened essentially is the media characterized Return to the Land in a much different way than it actually is. They made up a whole bunch of stuff. Almost anytime you read a news article about Return to the Land, there's a bunch of stuff in there that's completely made up. Like most recently, the lawsuit, this wealthy Jewish woman in Missouri who's a real estate broker, sued us in federal court because she said that she applied to purchase land from us and was rejected due to her ancestry. Completely made up. You can't apply to purchase land from us. There's no way to. We don't have such an application to fill out. So when you read the lawsuit, it's this like bizarre legal abstraction that she placed on top of how she thinks our organization works. So let's see. So some other things that are worth mentioning is that a lot of people think that Return to the Land is the community here in Arkansas. And yeah, I mean, the people here, the community, are members of Return to the Land. But Return to the Land is, you know, we have regional chapters all over the country. We have members in Canada and Europe and Australia. People around the country are having meetups. They might buy properties together. Maybe they'll rent a gym or a recreational facility. We work with other organizations in our space, such as, you know, Patriot Front, other similar organizations. So there's really a lot going on in the organization. What the media does is they try to reduce it to just this community, and then they put a bunch of stuff on top of that because they want to poison the mind of any judge or jury that's ever going to look at this in the future. And, you know, basically imply that we're somehow selling land to white people only and violating the Fair Housing Act. It's all a bunch of BS. So that's basically where we are at right now. And we still have a lot of members. The organization is still going strong. Fortunately, we've raised enough money in our legal fund on GiveSendGo to sort of get to the point where we could go to trial with the most recent lawsuit. But if it does actually go to make its trial, it's going to balloon. It's going to cost even more. So it's an interesting situation. We hope that the community continues to, you know, we hope that the pro-white community in the U.S. continues to support us and help the organization grow. And because the end goal of their lawfare is to bankrupt us and take all our land away and make all our children homeless, which is really bad optics for them. I don't know why they want to do that, but it's crazy.
Wow, that you've unloaded a lot. I'd just like to say I just can't imagine. I can't. How you're being dragged into court, and that's their goal. You got it exactly right. They want to bankrupt you, just like they did the League of the South from the Charlottesville Battle of Charlottesville. That's what they want to do. I'll ask you one question. I want to go to Don. Do you think do you have a court date? Have you been summoned to court already? Is you have a specific date? And if you have been summoned to court, do you have an attorney? I know an attorney up there, and I know you know him. And he's already probably maxed out. I don't know how much he'd be able to help, but we could mention. I don't think he might have mentioned his name. His name is Jason Robb. He's a great attorney. Comes on this press show some. So, in summary. Do you have a court date yet, or do you think it's just they're trying to bluff you, trying to scare you? What do you think about that, Peter?
Well, yeah, we know Jason Robb. He's great. We've talked to him. So as for like the three other investigations, they're kind of ongoing, and whether or not they take us to court is unseen. It could be another year before we hear anything. As for the most recent lawsuit from the Jewish real estate broker, we got a so we were served the lawsuit, and so we would have 21 days to respond, and if we don't respond, it'd be a default. So we have some lawyers now. We have three lawyers working on it. We had to look for some serious lawyers because there's a lot of really good lawyers, but a lot of them won't, even a lot of big name lawyers won't take something like that. They will defend child molesters and financiers that embezzle millions of dollars every day, but defending a bunch of white families that are about to be bankrupted by lawfare, for some reason they see that as bad optics. So but yeah, we did manage to find some quite good lawyers that we can just barely afford for the moment. And so, yeah, we have about, at this point, probably 16 days to file some motions or whatever. If it goes to actual trial, it's going to be a while, because as anyone who's been sued before knows, you have to respond to the initial complaint, and then it goes through some motions, and then it might go through discovery, and you have to provide a bunch of information. And if the judge thinks they have a case, then it goes to trial. But we're a ways out, but we're doing everything we can right now.
Well, I totally understand why attorneys wouldn't step up to the bat, but I'm going to turn this over. Don, you fire away, brother. I don't even know what to say. Go ahead, Don. I know you have plenty of questions, brother.
Well, no, I'm not familiar with all the details of the legal situation. I presume that feds, though, are going after you under the infamous 1968 so-called Fair Housing Act. That was passed right after Martin Luther King was assassinated, and signed by, whose name Eddie invoked earlier, Lyndon Baines Johnson. And so it's plagued us ever since. I'm old enough, barely old enough. I was just a little kid, or 14-year-old when that was passed, but I was somewhat politically conscious, and I remember they first called it open housing. Then when they passed the act, they decided it was fair housing. And I was in Alabama, grew up in Alabama then. And then after that they decided they liked equal opportunity. That sounded even better. And now I noticed that today they call it affirmatively furthering fair housing. So, I mean, when you've got that, those kind of words behind you, you just got to win, right? Now, ironically, all of those could be applied to ourselves. You're certainly for fair housing for our people and equal opportunity for our people, and even affirmatively furthering fair housing. But nevertheless, the feds are going to interpret it their own way. But if you're not an organization and you're not selling anything, then they really, I wouldn't think, would have too much of a case, although I'm sure they'll try. And
They will try.
And then same with the state. I don't know what the state laws are like. But
We have to go, Don. Hold that thought, brother. We got to go to our first break. Be right back, folks. Our second break. 2 minutes.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. President Trump on Friday pushed back on inflation concerns driven by a strong jobs report. He told reporters aboard Air Force One.
We have good everything, good numbers, but the job numbers just came out and they were fantastic, far better than even anticipated. They anticipated pretty good, but they had no idea it was going to be that. And unfortunately, we're in a world where for the last 15 years or so, when you have good numbers, the market goes down. When you have bad numbers, the market goes up because too much emphasis is placed on inflation.
The Treasury Department is warning banks about the risks of serving people living in the country illegally.
It's part of the Trump administration's efforts to tighten immigration controls. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN, issued guidance following an executive order by President Trump in May. That order requires banks to scrutinize customers' citizenship more closely, but it is less aggressive than initially expected, since it doesn't mandate collecting citizenship information. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent emphasized preventing illegal aliens from exploiting financial institutions. Banks are pushed to watch for red flags like identity theft and payroll fraud. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
During a heated Senate hearing, Senator Eric Schmidt sharply criticized Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono for defending violent criminals, including those convicted of murder, rape, and fraud from deportation. Schmidt defended the SCAM Act, which would expand grounds for denaturalization and deportation for certain crimes committed with 10 years of naturalization. Motorists and airline passengers aren't the only travelers thinking about high fuel prices as summer vacations near. Recreational boaters are feeling a pinch from the Iran war, too. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to supplements, there are two things that matter most. It works, and you can trust it. Both are absolutely essential. Larry Elder here. Many hosts have been taking and authentically endorsing Relief Factor for over a decade. That's over 10 years of lending their voice to help you get out of pain drug-free. Why? Because it works. Plain and simple. Relief Factor offers a quick start option. They actually lose money on the first offer, but they do it so people can try it for themselves and experience just how much it can improve their lives. More than 1 million people have tried Relief Factor, and about two-thirds go on to order more. The creator of Relief Factor returned home from Vietnam as a combat veteran wounded multiple times. He decided to become a doctor simply to help people, to heal them. He created Relief Factor originally to just help his patients with pain and do it drug-free. When he saw how well it worked, he decided to make it available to everyone. If pain is holding you back, maybe it's time you found out why so many people like me make Relief Factor part of their daily routine. Try the 3-week quick start today and see how it works for you. Visit relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Dear Blood River Radio family, what a heck of a nice start off to this program. We have two great people here. Don Black, I've been admired forever, ever since I've known him. Anyway, he's doing a great job. So we're going to go right back to Don Black. And just in case you're just tuning in, we're talking with Peter Seri, I think it is. I'll get him to correct me. And from he is part of Return to the Land movement. He is over around Ravenden, Arkansas. I know exactly where that is. Matter of fact, I used to drink spring water. I don't know if it's still there. There's a spring going from Imboden up toward Ravenden. You can stop and pull off the side of the road and get spring water. You don't have to go all the way to Hot Springs. My brother-in-law, rest his soul, grew up in Imboden, Arkansas. He was born, let's see, in the 30s. No, 20s. He was born 1927. And so I know all about that area. I've deer hunted up there. It's this great, great place, great people, and it's really white. That's what makes it really good. But anyway, I would say one more thing. I didn't know the return to the land movement was so diffuse and scattered all throughout the world. I didn't know they had multiple chapters. But anyway, I'm going to shut up. Go right back to the man who's doing such a great job leading this program right here. Go ahead, Don. Continue on, brother.
Well, thanks, Eddie. But it is your show, of course. But I appreciate everything that Peter's doing. How did you get started on this, Peter?
It's kind of a long story, so I don't want to get too into it. But basically, I was doing some intentional community stuff unfortunately in a third world country. And I realized I wanted to be back in the United States. I wanted to be in the Ozarks. I saw what was happening with the world. I realized I want to help my people. I don't want to do whatever it is, running some tourist business or something. So yeah, I mean, I came to the Ozarks and met up with a bunch of guys who were all looking for the same kind of thing. We were all looking, you know, for a safe home for our families. We wanted to get away from everything that was happening in all the more liberal parts of the country. So that's how it all started, basically. It's just we started having online meetings. We came to the Ozarks and started looking around. Some of the guys already lived here. So, I mean, one of the things we're criticized for by the left is that we're, you know, it's a bunch of out-of-state transplants that came into the Ozarks. And that's not really true. There's a lot of guys in return to the land that live here that have been in the Ozarks their whole lives. So, but anyways, that's how it started. We decided we need to form an organization and we're going to, you know, start to branch out, get more members around the country. And also, yeah, some of us decided to buy some land together. And that's, you know, when we started to get attacked because, you know, God forbid a bunch of families who are unapologetically supportive of their people buy some land together and have an intentional community. That's in the eyes of the liberals. That's crazy. And when they use terms like affirmatively, whatever that term was that you used, affirmatively support or whatever in the context of the Fair Housing Act, they use language like that because they think it supports them making programs that like only support, they can make a FHA program that supports only black families getting apartments in some city, for example. And even though that's a direct violation of the Fair Housing Act, they'll get away with it by using euphemisms like affirmatively this and affirmatively that. And in reality, like I remember last year, they were actually investigating a fair housing program in Memphis because it was specifically finding apartments for black families, period. And it's like, well, I mean, that's a violation of their own act. And really what you really, it has nothing to do with equality. It's all about raising up people of other races and oppressing white people. And that's why when white people buy land together, like we did in a way that clearly does not fall into the Fair Housing Act at all. They just, you know, three states have tried to pass laws specifically against return to the land. So they were saying for a year, you're breaking the law, right? Well, if we were breaking laws, they wouldn't have needed to try to pass laws in three states specifically against us. And that was Texas, Pennsylvania, and Arkansas. The Arkansas bill failed. Texas's bill passed and Pennsylvania's bill passed. But fortunately, they were written in a way that it kind of makes the media's caricature version of return to the land illegal, but it doesn't affect how our organization actually operates. That's actually one of the bizarre benefits of the media lying about us constantly, is when lawmakers try to make laws that basically make our existence illegal, the laws are really stupidly written and they write it in a way that really doesn't affect us. That's probably the only benefit of the media storm.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know what these laws in these other states actually prohibit. The federal law, of course, prohibits any organization that discriminates against other races or other religions. Can't maintain land. It doesn't say, well, it can't sell it or maintain it. It doesn't say that you can't own land and sell it to whomever you want. as an individual or group, but you can't be an organization. So I'm sure they'll come after you every way they can think of. So, but we hope that you can persevere. But of course, having to have lawyers to contest things in court is in itself, even if you win, a burden, sometimes crippling. So certainly wish you all the luck there.
Thank you.
And
we're trying.
I think there is more and more of a sentiment that you just described amongst your friends there, whom we met up with, people who want to, who are rebelling against the system and the degeneracy that's been brought about by the all of these affirmative programs. And by the way, they love words, affirmative. I mean, you can't argue with something that's affirmative. I mean, affirmative action, you know, that means anti-white discrimination. But you can use what you say, well, you're anti-discrimination of any kind. That doesn't sound nearly as good as even if you're anti-discrimination against black people. That doesn't sound nearly as good as being affirmative action. I mean, who could be against that? So it's the same with affirmatively furthering fair housing. I mean, all these positive words, they absolutely love them. Now, if it comes to being pro anything, or standing up for your own values, your own culture, your own traditions, well, that can be good as long as it's not white people you're talking about. In that case, it becomes hate and all of the other words that they so love, bigotry, hate, and of course, the word of all the racism, a term they invented completely. Leon Trotsky invented that word, racism. So they'll continue to play those games. And so I'm sure whatever bills they're passing in these other states have nice names like that. Nothing you could ever be against. So we've seen that progression over the decades, many decades in my case at least, and Eddie. But we certainly appreciate the new enthusiasm amongst a lot of different people, amongst a lot of young people that we're seeing now that we haven't, well, we've seen it in the past, but I don't think to this degree. And I think so many things are happening in the world at different levels with different things. The Middle East is part of that. And the fact that our people are waking up to who our real enemies are. And if they understand that, then they can understand better how to fight them. And I think we'll see more and more progress our way. So we appreciate everything. And it's good to have you on the program here with me when I happen to be here today. So it's really great talking to newer people, at least newer in my circles, who are actually accomplishing something.
Yeah, fortunately we have a lot. I mean, it's nice that we have so much support from people in the movement, and there's a lot of young people in the movement, and there's a lot of people joining the movement. As you know, the Overton window is shifting constantly every day. More people are waking up. So that's the thing that really keeps us going, is because if we were just kind of by it ourselves and we were getting sued, we would be bankrupt and that would be it. We would lose everything and it would be over. But because there's such a larger movement and it's grown so much, and even like in the local area around here, lots of people support us. They see what they're doing and it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like, yeah, these people, they want to live in a more traditional way. They don't want to expose their kids to all the degeneracy. People around here, they know what it's like in cities that have a very high black population. So even though they're going to say, well, you know, I'm not racist, this, that, they understand. So it's nice that we have a lot of support. We are, if you go to returntotheland.org and click donate, the first thing on that page is the legal fund. And so that's where we're raising money to fight this lawsuit and these investigations against us. So if anybody wants to help out, that is returntotheland.org/donate. But there, or just returntotheland.org and click donate. But that's really what all the support in the movement is, what keeps us going, and all the people joining, you know.
Well, Peter, I certainly appreciate you coming on the show today, brother. I really do. And you're welcome back anytime. You really are. I had some more questions to ask, but I'll get you back on again as soon as I can. Be right back, folks.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Are you watching what's happening in our country and asking, what can I do? Join the John Birch Society in Salt Lake City, June 6th, for a powerful one-day conference. The day includes a host of respected speakers, 2 meals, and meaningful connections. You'll gain clarity on the issues and walk away with practical steps you can take to your community. Reserve your seat today at jbs.org/SLC26. That's jbs.org/SLC26.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're right back. This will be the last segment of the first hour. We have a guy I really admire. He knows that, Sam Dixon said, me and Sam belong to the Mutual Admiration Society. Yeah, and I know Don knows Sam. Don knows everybody I know, and he knows him better because he's been in the official, I guess, mainstream. Unstream, whatever you call it. He's been in the movement longer than I have, official wise. I used to be kind of a night rider and a street battler or whatever, but I wasn't too educated. I didn't get too formal till later years. But anyway, we just had, if you're just tuning in, we just had Peter Seri on from Return to the Land, and I was just they're facing all kinds of roadblocks and all kinds of lawfare from the same old people, the men that wear tiny little hats who run the federal government. And I was just asking Don during the break, I didn't know Don was that versed in the law, but and I was just going, I'll read this, I'll tell the people what I'm going to tell them, and I'll go right to Don. I was telling Don that the Boy Scouts ran into a situation where they had queers wanting to apply for Scoutmasters. They wanted to go out on field trips and sleep in the tents with the little Boy Scouts. That's exactly what they wanted to do. But they were wanting to be Scoutmasters. They had girls they were wanting to get in there. Of course, you know, the blacks were wanting to flood them. And traditionally, I was never in the Boy Scouts. I never had anybody push me there. But the people that I knew there in Boy Scouts, I don't remember one single black being in the Boy Scouts. The people that I knew, really good friends that were in the Boy Scouts. That's way back in the 50s, in the early 60s. I didn't know any blacks. I never knew one single Jew. And certainly, you hadn't in those days, Don. You didn't. if you're homosexual, you didn't dare let anybody know. It was still considered a disgrace in those days. You were considered a deviant behavior. As a matter of fact, in the psychiatrist, I forgot the DMSO manual, whatever it is, but I should know that. I'm an OREN, but I forgot. But they used to quite classify homosexuality as a mental illness, and they used to treat people for that. But anyway, and I was telling Don that the Supreme Court ruled, I thought, in the Boy Scouts' favor, but I was wrong. I thought that you could have a private club, because I'd like to have a private coffee shop if I could. If you charged, I think the thing was you had to charge some kind of admission, some kind of a fee, et cetera, et cetera. But Don, without getting too complicated about that, I was gonna ask Peter, and he's probably gonna lose. I don't want to be pessimistic. I was gonna ask him, okay, you're gonna lose. What's your next step? They're probably gonna take his land, Don, and like he said. So, what other avenues are open to him, Don? I mean, I know them, but I won't try to put words in anybody else's mouth. I know that what we have to do in the end. I know what's gonna have to happen. But anyway, what's your view on that, Don?
Well, I can only appreciate that he is fighting this. He's obviously a lot more in touch with what they're fighting legally than I am. I just know the federal law, which can be pretty difficult, but there are other approaches as well. And by the way, unfortunately, not to be such a downer, but it's no longer the Boy Scouts. It's Scouting America.
Right.
They were admitting girls to the Cub Scouts and some of their programs, most of their programs, I guess. Although I think some of the older, maybe Eagle Scout. Anyway, there's still some of its traditions left, but they acquiesced to, and I don't know what the Supreme Court ruling was on that. Unfortunately, all of our institutions, our traditional values, and the institutions that they supported have, in many cases, fallen by the wayside, pretty much all of them. There is some return. There's a reaction to that today. And we're seeing something of a rebound, but so much damage has already happened. And of course, public acceptance of the whole queer thing, the whole gay, binary, non-binary, whatever they call it now, LGBTQ+++. They came up with a bunch of other letters for that too. That kind of thing is, unfortunately, it's weakened, as you point out. When we were in high school, calling somebody a queer was about the worst thing that could happen to them. Nobody
sure
wanted to see that. Now, of course, they've adopted it themselves. That's one of their words. That's part of the LGBTQ thing. But anyway, there's a lot of public acceptance of it now. Now, supposedly, according to their polls, 30-something% of high school students think they're non-binary. That's probably an exaggeration, but nevertheless, the numbers have increased. So we have seen a lot of changes along those lines. And so the same thing with gay marriage, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, of course, came later. Girls were still allowed to have their own scouts, but now they've got to change that, from what I recall recently. So there's the law can be is not real encouraging on all of this. I mean, you would think you have the right to free association and freedom of speech. I know you sent me an article today about free expression.
Yes.
And if we don't got it no more.
So you got that right.
It got pretty bad. So it still sounds good, doesn't it? Well, you know, but you don't hear that. I've pointed this out on a number of times on our shows over the years. You used to hear people say a lot, you know, I don't agree with what he had to say, but I'll defend to his death the right to say it. You used to hear, well, it's a free country, isn't it? When somebody would complain about what somebody was saying, their opinion. You used to hear that a lot. You don't hear it much in recent years or decades. But because attitudes have changed, and so in many cases in a bad way. But still, most people will, if you press them, they'll grill. They've got the right to their opinion. They'll pretty much give you that, but not a whole lot more. And in fact, they'll say, "Well, no, they don't have the right to promote hate."
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Hate speech is not free. Freedom of speech. Yeah. Go ahead. So they we do have this. You know, the propaganda has taken its effect year after year after year. Minute by minute, minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day, and year after year, it does have an effect on people. And the idea that anybody can just say whatever they want, as long as they're not advocating harm to other people, is kind of pretty much gone by the wayside with most the attitudes among most people. I think it is coming back a little bit, but things have changed, and it's a dangerous situation when you have a tyrannical government, potentially even more tyrannical government, Democrat or Republican.
You're so right, Don. You mentioned the free expressions. We have a fellow, a friend of ours. He's a supporter. He's a Yankee, believe it or not, folks. He lives north of the Mason-Dixon line. I tell you what, I know some hardcore not neo-Nazis, but hardcore Nazis, much harder core Nazis up there in New Jersey and New York than we have here, anywhere here in Memphis, I guarantee you. But he belongs as an attorney, and he's in that free expressions. And I'm glad you said that. I wish I could remember the name of the organization, but there's a fellow, and I know Don knows him, with a fellow named Mike Weaver. And sent me an article recently. I've sent it to Don, and I hope I don't run out of time. But what makes me pessimistic about what's going on with the return of the land is what's happened to just one case. What's happened to the League of the South in Charlottesville, and what's happened to Mike Weaver and his friends. He has friends that were arrested by a huge team of SWAT. I think like 30. And 32, wait, I'll say 20 plus or minus 5, whatever. And it was a big team of SWAT deputy sheriffs surrounded their house in Georgia, highly armed, ARs, etc. Charge of littering. They were handing out these pamphlets that, matter of fact, I got a lot of them. I used to hand them out myself from the Goyim Defense League. I'll point you out to what the men that wear tiny little hats and how they control everything. They control the pharmacy, the pharmaceutical industry, et cetera, et cetera. And they've been arrested for that stuff. But anyway, Mike Weaver's he's on the run now. I see we run completely out of time, folks. Didn't mean to run us out like that. But Don, thank you so much for coming on, brother. I'll contact you real shortly. I'll stay in touch with you. You the same. And thank you so much for coming on, Don. You did a great job, brother. I love you, dear.
Okay.
You're the real deal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Dear Blessed Group Radio family.